Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie. Jerry Martin. Jerry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What's happened? You're banned from what?
I went to hire a hoist for to cut some hedging that's in the front of my garden here.
Okay.
And when they discovered I was over 70 years of age, they said to me, no, they couldn't let me have it because the insurance wouldn't cover me. But that wasn't the first case. The first case, really, that I came across where over 70s are not allowed to drive. I was driving for a man here in Bray, in County Wicklow here, Mr. Eugene Finnegan, well-known here in Bray as a bus operator.
Right.
And I was driving for him. Most of the private bus work is school work. And most of the school work is done by Bus Éireann. And once you reach 70 years of age, Bus Éireann say you can't drive.
There's a fatwa on over 70s.
Yeah. Now, I gave up driving a job only 5 weeks ago because I was going into hospital for a small operation. I was travelling all over Europe driving a truck delivering beef. France, Germany, Holland, England. No problem. And nobody stopped me and nobody said to me, oh, you're over 70, you can't do this, you can't do that. Joe, I'm a very, very fit lad for 71 years of age.
I see.
And driving to me is not a job, Joe. It's an absolute hobby. I love it.
Okay. And have you ever had any accidents?
I've had minor accidents, nothing serious, you know. And what nothing did you... ever that I was brought to court and convicted over or anything like that. Just minor things, you know.
And Jerry, is it... You were hired, it wasn't a hedge cutters, which are dangerous now.
Yeah, no, I have three hedge cutters here myself. I also have two big chainsaws. But I have all the safety gear for that.
Okay.
For working them, you know. I've been doing it all my life, Joe.
Okay, but you were looking for...
I was looking for a platform, a hoist, so as I could get up to some of the branches to cut them.
Yeah. And have you done that before you were 70?
Oh, God, yes. Joe, I've been a working man all my life. I did 30 years with the fire brigade, and we did an awful lot of things there, too. As a matter of fact, I was talking to you only last year down in the Obama Plaza. I was on my way to Limerick. You were on your way home.
Did you have a fire engine?
No, but I have one parked here in the yard.
And what do? You just answer the false alarms, do you?
No.
What you're saying, why should over 70s be unilaterally banned from?
Yeah.
Okay. And did they say why? Have they had incidents and accidents?
No, they didn't give me any explanation as to why. Just said, you're over 70, we can't insure you.
Okay, Noel is on the line. 51551 Washhands. Noel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Hedge trimmers. What happened?
I'm after forgetting the exact date, but back in April or May, I was out cutting the hedge with a petrol-operated hedge trimmer.
Wow.
And which I've been using for maybe since they were invented, maybe for the past 30 years. And I was doing it for about an hour, and then it slipped, and it caught me in the knee.
Oh!
And cut me into the bone.
Oh no!
Yeah, I know. It sounds worse than it was, but in fact, with me when I
and was there not a dead man's handle on it if you drop it?
There is, but you know when you're cutting the hedge with a hedge trimmer, the problem is that you're going along the whole time, so you never really leave it. You never leave the trigger go. You're always on it.
Okay.
So I was just cutting along a long hedge, and I do you know something? I don't even remember how precisely it happened, but it just went down, touched my knee, and cut right through my trousers and cut into the knee. Now, it was my own fault.
And were you on a ladder? Where were you?
No, I was on the ground.
Okay, so what did you do next?
Yeah, what I did next was that I had to go to the A&E.
How did you get to the A&E with your knee?
With my knee, I had to ring my daughter in Dublin, and she came out. I live in a place called Batterstown in County Meath.
Okay.
My daughter came out. I cleaned it up as best I could, put a bit of cloth, wet cloth on it, and she brought me into the A&E, in which I was there for 4 hours. But by the time I left the A&E, I was more worried about the COVID, getting the COVID, because I'm 70 years of age. I was more worried about getting the COVID than I was about my knee, even though I got 4 or 5 stitches on it. And that was it. Now, my problem, and this maybe goes back to the insurance issue, is that I had a specialised trousers for a chainsaw, you know, for
using... You can guess it. I didn't know.
Pardon?
I didn't know you could.
Oh, yeah. They're specialised gear, trousers, boots and everything. And I should have been wearing those, and I have them. But and I use it all the time when I'm using the chainsaw.
Right.
But for the hedge trimmer, I didn't tend to use it. Now, since the accident happened, now I wear the gear. I wear the clothing.
Yeah.
And if a company refuses to hire to a 70-year-old, does that mean, for people who are over 70, does that mean anybody under 70 can get the chainsaws? And
the height. Well, you can buy a pretty... industrial chainsaw hedge trimmers in Lidl every second Thursday, can't you?
You can, yes. They're all battery-operated now, nearly, the smaller ones. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that if you're banning people from over 70 from using it or hiring it out to them, does that mean anybody else can... it's okay for a person that's 10 years of age to hire it, is it? I'm not sure of the conditions on which they came up with this rule, you know.
And what, Noel, can I ask you, what age are you?
I'm 70.
Oh, you're 70, okay.
Yeah.
And you don't, even though you've had an accident, but that was with you don't believe that ban is...
No, there's no justification. If you wanted to, you could make it a condition that you must wear proper clothing or wear proper gear or be properly supervised.
Yeah, but is there actuarial evidence that insurance companies have that men and women over 70 go joyriding on those heights?
No, as far as I know, when they stopped hiring out chainsaws to anybody.
Oh, did they?
As far as I know, they did, because...
They did stop that, Joe. They stopped hiring out chainsaws to a lot of people because you have to have a special course done.
Okay, that's for cutting down trees.
So anybody, you can't hire a chainsaw anymore, as far as I know.
Okay, Jerry, I have a job for you.
Yeah?
It's in the Dundalk Democrat. It says, Drummond Hire are recruiting for a plant delivery driver. So could you could deliver the hoist, but you can't use it.
I know.
I don't know what the rules are. But Drummond Hire, they're a big company up there. Yeah.
That gentleman was talking there that had that accident. The type of hedge cutter he was using is one that's very close to the body. The ones that I use are on an extended arm.
Yeah.
So I am not near the blade, but I also wear all the safety gear. I deal with a man here in Bray, Paddy Cal. I buy all my stuff off him. And he has all the safety gear. It's €120 for the safety trousers alone.
Wow.
Right? Boots are about, I don't know what price the boots are. The jacket is €350.
Okay.
Now you wouldn't do a long day in weather like this with the manners because it's very, very warm and very it makes you sweat terrible. But I spent 10 weeks, Joe, during this COVID lockdown cutting timber in my yard every day, and I had no problems whatsoever because I'm careful. I know what I'm doing.
Okay, now let's just see, would you be eligible for this job in this hire company?
I'm sure they'd be delighted to have me, Joe.
Say yes or nay, Jerry. Would you be able to do daily multi-drop deliveries?
I'd be able to do daily multi-drop.
Just yes or no, not your life story, Jerry.
No, yes, I would be able to do it.
Second question in the interview. Loading and unloading of truck, can you do that?
Yes, of course I can.
Customer service, good at customer service?
No problem, I talk to anybody.
Good at paperwork?
Paperwork all right, but forget about computers.
Okay, that's not... No, just paperwork. And you have to keep your van tidy.
Yeah, well, that's no problem. Have a look at my fire engine on my car.
Okay,
they're pristine.
Liaising with your logistics manager and your schedule.
Yeah, provided he knows what he's at.
Okay.
Because the chances are a lot of these transport managers, Joe, wouldn't know how to open the door of a truck.
Okay. Be an ambassador for the Drummond Hire Group and Delivery Service.
But anyway, as I said, I'm really annoyed at 70 years of age.
What I'm saying, I'm looking at the ad, and it looks a great company. There's nothing in it about age.
No. But probably, Joe, when I would go to do the interview, they'd ask you to look at your licence, and the next thing they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, you're over 70, we can't insure you.
Well, I think the first thing they say, Jerry, is, well, it's changing these. The first thing they say is...
Yeah, you see, when they put out an ad in the paper, Joe, they put out an ad for a driver, they're not expecting a 70-year-old to answer it.
Yeah, but look at you know? Look at the head of hair on you.
I'm a good-looking guy for 71, am I?
Can we phone a friend? Yeah, you're very handsome. I meant to say, Jerry, we won't prolong this, but I meant to say the first thing they say to you is, are you sure you're over 70? Because you don't look it.
Well, there you are.
There you are now. But remember, 70
on my licence, Joe, and I have 15 of them.
Good man.
15 classes of vehicles I can drive.
And what can you not drive?
Well, I'm looking at this, Joe, and it says a B1 and there's a stroke through it. I don't know what that's for, but... It doesn't really affect me, but I can drive everything else, you know.
What size trucks are you driving? What are they, Scanias or Volvos? You know,
well, I'm driving an FH Volvo, 500 horsepower. She pulls a 13.6-metre fridge.
Okay, well, the best way for me to... How many steps up into it?
Four.
Oh, my God.
As a matter of fact, the hardest part of the job is climbing into the cab.
Well, would you not hire one of those height-for-hire things to help you get in?
They wouldn't give it to me, Joe. I'm over 70.
Okay, where's Kathleen Handley? Kathleen Handley, 1857-158.
Oh, another thing I wanted to say to you, Joe.
Yes.
I couldn't hire a motorhome this year either. I wanted to tour Ireland.
Ah, that's unfair.
Yeah.
Because of your age?
Yeah.
Ah, come on, lads.
I've decided now, I'm selling my car, going to buy a Jeep and a caravan, and I can tour all I like.
About Kathleen Handley, Kathleen.
Yes, Joe. I'm listening to that gentleman and I sympathise with him. Last year we were on holidays in Spain as well, and my partner, who was over 70, couldn't drive the car, but I could because I was under 70. They wouldn't insure him to do so. So it is a difficulty.
And it's just arbitrary now. Just 70 is the cut-off.
It seems to be.
Even in the world that we now live in, where people are living much longer, much healthier.
Yes.
The number of people who are exercising...
Yeah. And I think it's cropping all genres at the moment. I was referred to the coronary rehabilitation unit in a hospital here in the West. Mm-hmm. And they rang me one day and they said, you had such a procedure. And they said as well, you're 70 this year. So we're not calling people over 70. We're calling people under 70 first.
Why?
And I protested. They said they were the instructions. They were dealing with the younger people first. And eventually, after two or three phone calls and lots of conversations, and I was given an appointment. So I started today, would you believe it? So this seems to be an issue all over, but it's not raising its head that much.
And Kathleen, don't give me the exact details, but are you saying you were being written off for health?
Yes, that's what I said to them. That's how I felt. I wasn't the age where they thought I was worth saving or working with.
It's not being written off, Joe. It's total discrimination. That's what it is.
Well, the same thing, I suppose, discrimination, yes.
So just explain that to me again. You were due to go for coronary rehab.
Yes, and they were cancelled because of COVID. Yes. And then they started calling people back and I got the phone call to tell me that straight off you had a procedure. And then they said, you're 70 this year. You're 70. Yes. And I said, no, I'm not. And then they said, you are in November. And I said, so what? And I went on to say that I objected to that and that I'd like it noted and I'd like it passed on to my consultant that that was what they were telling me. And within 2 days, I had another phone call to say they would bring me in for some tests, stress tests and that, and then they gave me an appointment for the course, which I started today.
But
I protested and I challenged them on it, I wouldn't have got there today. I was written off. That was what happened. And I'm sure there's lots of people over 70 who are afraid to ask the questions and probably seek somebody else to make the decision, you know.
And you say, you think, Kathleen, they might be afraid to ask, is it because of my age?
I'd say so. But they may not know that. They may not decipher that either unless they said it to them, your birthday is this year. But if they were 72 or 73, they probably wouldn't tell them.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm a bit concerned about it because, as I said, you know, most of us are fit and active and we want to do whatever we can do for as long as we can.
Jerry, stay there. Can I? Jerry, it struck me that to get someone to trim your hedge, how much would you pay?
I had one or two crowds in to do the job or to look at it, and they quoted me around €4,000 for the work. And I can hire this machine and do the job myself in a week, and it cost me less than €1,000. That lady there, Gerald, was saying about her driving in Spain.
Kathleen.
I get her to talk to her insurance company because I have spoken to my insurance company and I can drive my car anywhere in Europe for 90 days.
Okay. Well, right. I come back to that.
It seems to be just different insurance companies have different rules.
Yeah.
But I'd love someone to get stuck into Bus Aidan on behalf of people like me, because Mr. Finnegan in Bray would take me back driving, no problem. My man up in PJ McDonald's up in the north, he'd take me back driving. I have other people. And when you sit down for an interview, you're very experienced. You're not really what we're looking for. It's another polite way of saying you're too old.
Yeah, good point. But again, I'm looking at that ad for Drummond Hire. They're looking for a driver, and it doesn't mention, it says a clean driver's license. You have that.
Yeah.
Category C. So you're 15 out of 16.
Yeah.
You're a team player, obviously you're a firefighter. Good communication skills, obviously. Must be self-motivated, that's evident. Have a great work ethic and abilities. That's as clear as the nose in your face. Flexibility is key, willingness to go the extra mile. That's built into every bone in your body, Jerry. Experience of large, small plant equipment and advantage. That's your DNA.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to.
Joe, that's all you ever wanted.
When can you start?
All I ever wanted to do, Joe, was drive trucks and buses from when I was a kid.
Oh, magic, yeah.
I never, ever set out to be a fireman. And I only filled the application form because my mother was annoying me.
And, Jerry, what's it like being on your own? Are you on your own in the truck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, don't mind that, Joe. I have my music. I love my country music, my American country music. I will be in heaven all day long listening to that.
You listen to music all day?
All day. While I'm driving along, I have a Spotify on my phone. And I have a huge collection of music and I absolutely enjoy it.
Okay, we just whacked this off the cart. Well, what is it?
Fate had meant for me one last time.
That's
to see
Charlie Pride singing in the middle of nowhere.
Once again, go there.
Go there. See the places where,
as a child,
I've been. Yep. That song is very relevant to me, Joe.
Why?
I was born and reared in Blanchardtown, and I left there in 1973 when I got married.
Okay.
And my dad died in September 1993, and when I went back, I knew nobody there.
Okay.
And I had to say to my younger sister, Breda, I said to her, Breda, you better stand beside me and tell me who's who, because the congregation that was at my father's funeral, I couldn't believe it. It was huge.
Yeah.
And he was very well known and very well liked. And I had to say to her, who's this? Who's this? And nobody knew me. So that's why that song is so relevant to me.
Wow.
I saw him in concert 3 times.
What age was your dad when he died, Jerry?
He was 80.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mum just passed away there a few years ago, 4 years this December. She was 96.
Ah, brilliant. That went down to longevity in your family.
Yeah.
Is Charlie Pride still going strong?
Yeah, he is actually. He's well in his 80s, but he's still going strong.
He's 86, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, sing along there, Jerry.
And no one even knew me now. In the middle of nowhere. Can you imagine, Joe, when you're going down the M6 in London, or down heading for London, and you're listening to the like of that, and the engine is humming? It's like poetry in motion to me.
Okay, well done, Jerry. But as I say, apparently some companies will let you hire a heist.
Yeah.
Okay, where's Don Ryan? Don, what do you want to do? You there, Don? Don is gone for the time being. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Jerry is 71. You'll see his photograph there up on Twitter at Liveline. RTE or RTE Liveline or Joe Liveline on Twitter, and he's a fine, as many people are. 70 is the new 50, but he's been banned. He went to hire a platform so he could cut his hedge in, which would cost him $4,000 if he had to get someone in to do it, and he was told, no, you're over 70. Don Ryan, is Don back?
Indeed, Joe. Good afternoon to you.
And what are you banned from?
Well, I've been skiing, Joe, for about 25 years, every year. And 2 years ago, I was advised by my insurance company that they could not insure me. Apparently, I'm not capable of skiing, despite the fact that I'm still skiing. But they have determined that I'm not able to.
And had you many claims, Don?
No, never.
Never?
No. And I mean, as I said, I've been skiing for maybe 25 years. I've never even had falls. Like you get good at something and you don't actually have falls. Whereas you take the average 18, 19-year-old out the first time.
Oh,
you
don't
ski.
Be talking.
You know, they're extracting them out of bushes and trees and what have you. But for some reason, I'm deemed not capable.
And it's a blanket ban, a snow blanket ban.
Absolutely. It's once you hit 70, dead, no insurance company will touch you.
And what? But you're still skiing. Are you skiing without insurance?
Yes.
But say you have...
I have an annual policy, and that covers me for the 12-month period. And I always had winter sport. But when I tried to pick winter sport 2 years ago, it wouldn't allow me. I rang my agent and he said, I'm sorry, Don, but you've hit 70, we can't insure you for skiing.
But say
they didn't reduce the policy. The policy was the same price, but I wasn't covered for skiing.
But are you saying you ski out there, Don, even though, God forbid, if you had an accident, you might have to be choppered off the piste?
Well, that's true for everybody, Joe. And I have
But they have insurance.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm not going to have an accident like that. Most accidents happen down the bottom of the ski runs, and it's where beginners crash into people.
Okay.
But when you're up the top and you're skiing with experienced people, they don't have crashes, they don't have accidents.
Okay, and how long are you skiing?
About 25 years.
Right, so, well...
Every year.
Yeah, when did the ski craze start in Ireland? For a certain group, obviously. What, in the 70s, 80s?
It was probably... That's right. I mean, it was becoming, when I started skiing, it was becoming fashionable then. And that was about 95, and it was becoming accessible. The flights were opening up to Irish people and hotels, et cetera, et cetera. And initially, I went with travel companies. But nowadays, I just go directly to places like Morzine or the Pyrenees, and you arrange your own accommodation, et cetera, et cetera. But in the early days, travel trips, you know.
I've never done it, but it is incredible. Anyone who's done it and done it properly absolutely loves it, don't they? The exhilaration.
In the early days, I think it was the second year, I went back 3 times in 1 year to ski. It really, really got a hold of me. It's a fantastic feeling when you're up there and the wind, your eyes are streaming. Although you've goggles on, the wind is still getting in and you're coming at speed down the mountain, but you're totally in control.
And
it's fantastic.
Have you found yourself banned from anything else because you're over 70?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I don't think so. I still run a company, so I'm still Corpus Sanus or Mensis or whatever
it's supposed to be.
So, I'm still quite capable of walking maybe 4 miles a day and doing all the normal things.
Well done. You're 70, you're healthy, you're hale and hearty and healthy and you're young.
Absolutely.
And Don, what's your company, can I ask?
Yeah, it's Ryan Food Services. We supply food ingredients to the food service industry and also the food processing industry.
Wow. And will you be hit by Brexit?
We will, yes, somewhat, but it's all nobody can tell at the moment.
Okay, have you a plan B?
Still do a bit of zip lining as well, Joe. You know, and if I can get a bit of abseiling in, I do that as well.
Oh, do you agree?
Yeah. No, I like heights and stuff like that. Yeah, like a bit of excitement. We've never won for golf. I need a bit of an edge.
You need a bit of an edge. Wonderful. Wonderful, Don. Okay, Norma Coughlin. Thanks. That's Don Ryan of Ryan Food Ingredients. Norma Coughlin.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
And what have you been banned from?
No, first of all, I must correct you. In Cork, we're Colin. We're not Coughlin. However...
Oh, sorry. Oh, the way... C-O-G-H-L-A-N in Cork is not Coughlin.
Yeah, you see,
as in Mary
Coughlin. Irish language, the H makes the G silent.
Okay, Colin. Okay.
So, no,
okay, Norma.
No, it's just that I just text in just to say that over 70... insurance won't cover you, as that last man has said to you there. Over 70, all insurance companies, they just won't cover you. That's it.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
But you can drive when you're over 70.
I know. I mean, I'm driving my own car.
So what have you been banned from?
Well, I mean, I still am a member of the Order of Malta.
Brilliant.
And in my younger days, I did drive the ambulance. But once I got to 70, then that was it.
Because of insurance?
Because of
your age.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I mean, I wasn't just told specifically me. That's just it. That's the insurance. You're covered until you're 70, and that's the end of it then. Although some people were saying of late, I think that's extended to 75, but I haven't heard anything officially. But 70, that's this.
But I thought, I would love to see if there is any actuarial evidence that people over 70 have more crashes than, unless Prince Philip is over 90, but if people over 70 have more crashes
than... He will be 100 next year, Joe. They're preparing the celebration for next year.
I hope I can keep that date free, will you, Norman? But you're saying once you hit 70, you could not... And are you a good ambulance driver?
Well, I mean, I've never had an accident in the ambulance or in my own car.
Are you still driving your own car?
Oh, I am. Oh, gee, if you take the car from me, you can take me up to the local undertaker and throw me in a box. I love my car and I love driving. It gives me independence.
Jerry.
I love that lady. She's got the same attitude as I have. And the sooner someone in Bus Aden and a few other places will wake up and realise us over 70s have something to offer.
And once you're medically fit, you should be allowed to do it, shouldn't you?
Well, you see, Joe, I am allowed to go out and teach the first aid to put the public and companies and that. But I have to go in my own car. I can't go in the ambulance.
And how long are you in the Order of Malta, Norma?
54 years.
Well done.
Wonderful.
And you're based in Cork?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And have you seen everything at this stage?
Well, more or less, really. But as I say, once I couldn't drive the ambulance anymore, my days of jumping over fences after jockeys is well gone. So I just do the first aid classes now, and, you know, it's indoors and generally indoors.
Oh, because the Order of Malta follow the horse races, don't they?
Oh, yes, all the horse racing Ireland. But at the moment, no, they're still doing it, but no spectators and
I know.
Atmosphere or anything.
And have you ever had to hop over and rescue a jockey?
Oh, well, no. They usually come down at the fence and you have to go to them then and deal with them. Yeah, yeah.
And have you ever come across, God forbid, a serious accident?
No, not personally. I've been very lucky, actually. I've been very lucky in my day. But all the rest of our members have, as you know, all over the country they do. And in all walks of life, any kind of sports like that, you will come across something serious from time to time. Or people in Killarney had a serious accident there and the race course last year. And they had to call in the helicopter and everything. I mean, that's well noted. In fact, lady was on the television recently and she said, you know, only for the helicopter, she would never have survived in the ambulance.
Okay.
There we are.
And have you ever... By the way, horses are so dangerous.
They are. You know, if the jockeys can control them. But there again... I mean, you know yourself.
I mean for you running out to look after a jockey.
Listen, everyone here in Cork knows me, Norma. Mind yourself. Do not put yourself in danger. Do not go out there until the course is clear.
Okay.
I know there are anybody who's listening now. They're laughing because they know that. Oh, no, that's the one thing. Mind yourself, you're the most important person at the scene of the accident.
Okay, because when was it? It was a suffragette that was, remember Emily Davison ran out in front of the King's Horse, but that was a problem. But she was killed stone dead.
Oh, cheap. Well, no, that's one thing that, I mean, I instill that in all my members. And it's just the ordinary general public who come to the first aid classes. Do not put yourself in danger.
Okay.
Because if you're down, we have no first aider, and now we have two patients, you see, or two casualties. So you have to mind yourself.
Okay, well done, well done. And you're still in the Order of Malta.
Oh, yes, I am.
Well done.
Until they throw... Now, Joe, as I always say, the wage, the pay isn't good, but that pension is brilliant.
What do you mean? What do you mean? There's no pension.
When we go up above, I'm sure our horn will be shining.
There's no problem there with the jockey when he falls. The horse doesn't wait around to see if the jockey all right.
Sure doesn't.
Oh, listen, the jockey will be treated when the horse is well gone and all the rest of the horses. Oh, we'll give him our best attention then.
By the way, when we mention jockeys, we should mention Pat Smullen, who died age 43.
Oh, yes.
The outpouring of grief and upset and... across the horse racing community and beyond, it's just incredible. I didn't know the chap, but apparently he was the most magnificent. And what did Ted Walsh say earlier today? He said if there was a horse named after Pat, it would be called Never Give Up. And God rest him, and condolences to his friends and family. And Norma, you mind yourself? Give me the pronunciation of your second name again.
Colin.
Okay.
You see,
that's Norma Colin. Okay.
Drop the G and the H, and you'll get it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Bye bye.
See you, Norma. Bye-bye. That's Norma Colin. Coughlan. Okay. The live line is open now. If you're Coughlan, the number is 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE began with Jerry, 35 minutes ago. He's just turned 70, still driving massive trucks across the continent safely, has 15 out of the 16 categories on your driving license, and he doesn't know what the missing one is. Nobody seems to understand what B1 is, but he went to hire a heist to cut his hedge, and he was told, no thanks, you're over 70. David Nisbet. David, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Where are you now? Are you up the ladder or down the ladder?
Yeah, I was. When the phone call came, I was halfway up the ladder. I'm down on the ground again.
Okay, so you rang us, and what is you're 73. I hope you had someone holding the ladder, had you?
It's got good wide legs on the bottom of it, and my weight keeps it firmly in place. So
okay. So tell us, you're 73, and you're up the ladder there doing what? Were you doing the roof or gutters or
an awning out the back?
Okay.
About 6 or 8 feet off the ground.
And what do you think of this ban on over 70s from hiring cars, from hiring heists for hire, for doing DIY?
It's not good. I mean, it's as people have said, 70 is the new 50 now. I mean, I don't feel any different. I'm a little bit slower. But if we take the correct precautions, which we're all urged to do for medical reasons and everything else nowadays, I don't see any harm with it.
And do you drive a car?
I drive a car, yes. I've driven all over Europe in that car in the last couple of years.
Wow.
So I've driven in the States. I've driven all across Western Europe in all the major capitals. I have my scooter and I have my electric bicycle.
Magnificent.
The only thing I don't do is a huge amount of walking, but there are medical reasons behind that.
Okay, so you ride an electric bike, as they call them.
Yeah.
And what's the CC on your scooter?
400.
And no bother to you?
No bother at all.
And why should it be?
No, not at all.
And inside you're dancing, David, but inside what age do you think you are?
that depends on what the dreams are, Joe.
Dream on. So what age, when you're up that ladder, and you've never tripped on the ladder?
Well, there's always a first time, they say, but I aim to keep it. I aim to keep that number very close to zero, just like we wish COVID would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, my father did the same thing. I don't know about his father before him, but I was brought up in a DIY household.
Okay, that's a great skill. It's a great skill.
When I was 15, he hung up his metaphorical screwdriver and said, "You can do it from now on."
And did you retire? When did you retire, so to speak, from a day job? I'm presuming.
I'm 20 years out now. again, health grounds knocked me out when I was in my early 50s. So I either can live or work, and I figured living was a bit more important. So,
yeah, but David, you said you retired on health grounds in your 50s, but you're 73 and just come down a ladder.
Yeah.
And obviously to get down the ladder, you had to get up the ladder.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it took me to the States for surgery and an awful lot of money, but that's where we are now.
Oh, I'm so good, so pleased to hear that.
You and I met some years ago, in fact, a fair number of years ago.
Do you have a fire engine? Okay,
no.
David. Yeah.
No, I do not have a fire engine.
Okay, where did we meet? Who have I not met at this?
We've met at a funeral in Iona Road.
Ah, yeah. Lovely church, great part of the city. Okay, David, stay safe and look after yourself. Go to Mina Mahagadas, David. Dahi O'Connell, Dahi.
Hello, Joe.
You're 79 and you're saying stop this ban on over 70s doing. Where did you, you're 70, where do you spend your birthday?
On top of Cairn Toohill.
Did you climb up?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
No problem. Rather annoyed to hear all these poor men and women being
banned,
as it were, downgraded. And
that's a good point. Downgraded, you're right. At 70.
Yeah.
And wiped off the map at 70 by companies. And Dahi, what are you doing now?
I'm on my way out to Fern Ford to fly light aircraft solo.
Brilliant.
Give me that man any day of the week.
And how long have you been flying, Dahi?
Well, I was teaching and I took it up just shortly after retiring.
So you're a relatively new flyer?
Well, 15 years of it anyway.
Okay. And is that your own aircraft?
Oh, God, no. Oh, Janie couldn't afford that.
Okay.
There's a group of us, a syndicate.
Oh, syndicate. And what type of...
It's a Piper PA 4-seater 28.
And will you be in that aircraft on your own? I don't mean nothing to do with your age. I just mean...
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Most of it on my own. Can't bring anybody now with the COVID because you can't wear a mask.
Of course, yeah.
Because you can't use your, radio if there's a mask covering your mouth.
I never thought... That's very, very... I'm learning stuff every minute. every minute.
No, and I just taking it back.
How long will you spend in the air?
I go out over Phoenix and Ballyhigh and so on, and maybe go to Cork for a cup of coffee now and then.
Or do you land?
Oh, you would, yeah. You can't stay up all day, you run out of fuel.
I know that, but if you can come back to Farran Ford, would you land?
Oh, yes.
In Cork or whatever?
Yeah, not frequently now. I prefer to do the local area at my age, just to understand.
What a beauty. And is the weather as nice in Kerry as it is in Dublin today?
It's perfect now for the season. Absolutely, yes.
So you'll be up there in the cerulean blue sky, cloudless.
Absolutely, yes.
With the most magnificent views in the country.
Yeah. No, I like to speak on behalf. I have an active retirement group, mostly ladies. And we were up in Drong Hill at 700 metres yesterday, 17 of us. And, it's very upsetting to hear people regarding 70-year-olds, 69-year-olds as no more use.
And do you, like 79, you're flying a single prop Piper. Do you need special insurance? Because this is where all this started.
No. The insurance for the aircraft is covered and that's subject to your annual medical.
Ah, that's straightforward, isn't it?
The medical is the bottom line.
Okay, well, Jerry was willing to do a medical to hire a little platform.
Oh.
Is there any age where you would not be allowed to fly a single prop?
Totally up to the aeromedical exam by your GP.
Isn't that fantastic? So you could be flying...
And your sanity, of course.
Of course. and you you could be flying at 100?
I've heard such.
Okay, it's not fantastic.
No, it wouldn't be here, I presume, to the United States. I heard about it,
And you mentioned, just briefly, you mentioned that you retired from teaching.
Yes.
And then you took a... But was it always an aspiration?
As a child, yes. Because I lived in Limerick and I always wanted to... my mother bring me out to Shannon, so I said, someday I'm going to get up there.
And what happened that you didn't pursue it in your 20s?
Oh... Expense.
and jobs, yeah, and training was extraordinarily expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Extraordinarily expensive. Still is, unless... And I think the Air Corps are recruiting. Is a fantastic organisation as well. Okay, Dahi, safe flying this afternoon.
Right, go meet him out.
And what, Dahi, just before you climb into the aircraft to fly it on your own, what do you worry about most when you're flying?
Well, you do about three quarters of an hour following a four-page checklist before you even start an engine.
Oh, dear.
So you check everything. If you're not happy with anything, then you tell control tower that you're abandoning it. And okay. if they think you're doing anything incorrectly too, they'll tell you to abandon it.
And have you ever got into sat into a plane and then after 40 minutes said, no, I'll leave it?
No.
Okay.
No, not in like the Kerryman across the Atlantic. The pilot went out for a cigarette.
He stepped outside. I'm stepping outside for a smoke. Okay, Dahi. Okay, Dahi.
Right.
Well done. Fly safely, though. It's a very, very safe hobby, isn't it?
Lovely. Up to plus 70s to safer than a car.
Okay. That's Dahi. At 78 years of age, you're just about to fly a Piper single prop out of Farran Four. Watch out from there. He should be up in the air in the next half hour,
Joe,
40 minutes. Jerry, yes, Jerry.
Joe, only last week I was talking to someone about that.
Yeah.
And I would love to go out to Lucan there.
Weston, yeah.
Weston and take up flying. It's just something I thought about myself there a few weeks ago. And I mentioned it that I would love to do it. But there's a lot of people who would love to do what I'm able to do, Joe.
Yeah, obviously, and you're well able. I flew a few weeks ago. I went over to the Aran Islands for a few days and I flew with Air Aran. Absolutely magnificent. The only flight I'm doing this year. Seven minutes from Inverin to Inishman I went. And it was absolutely beautiful, spectacular. Beautiful airport, by the way. Yeah. Magnificent, you know, duty free.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
I'll tell you what my fire engine this year, Joe, I was booked to go to a load of shows.
I know.
The like of the Minority Steam Trashing Show. And
they're all gone. Terrible.
All gone.
It's really the depth of the wound that COVID-19 has inserted into our society is just incalculable at this stage. I take your point. All those magnificent fairs and heritage fairs that were so brilliant around the country. Robert Mizell, Robert.
Joe, I'm haunting you once again.
Yeah, go ahead. You're listening to Jerry.
Yeah, I was listening to Jerry, and I was intrigued by a story because as a bus driver, I remember a story over in America the last 12 years, I've been touring Nashville. I bring over people from Ireland who are country music fans, and we spend 10 days going around Nashville and Memphis and all these places. And the bus driver that I have, that I've been using for the last 12 years, is a guy called Leo. And I thought so much of Leo in the end that I named my son after him. We became very good friends. But Leo is a black gentleman and the most wonderful fella. 82 years of age he is, and he has no notion of retiring. And we often had many chats about that. And I said to him, I said, Leo, you know, your children, your grandchildren are rare, and your grandchildren are having great-grandchildren. Would you not want to take it easy? He says, no. He says, as long as there's a breath in my body, I want to be driving this bus, and I want to be looking after you guys. And a wonderful man he is. And I heard you talking to the other gentleman who's flying the single-prop airplane. Well, my daughter's granddad, Paul Donnelly, he's from Mason. He still flies a helicopter, and he's just over 80 as well. So, you know, there should be no age limit on these things.
So you can fly a plane, you can fly a helicopter, but you can't hire a little platform to cut your hedge in.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But see, the world we've gone into, Joe, you know, this is what happens. I mean, look, I'm worried. I better get all my high work done now when I'm still under 50 I might be able to get, you know, but it's, you know, I think of Leo all the time. And, you know, well, I named my son after him, as I said. A great gentleman, and I think because of his age, because of his experience that he has, I wouldn't want anybody else in charge of that bus. I mean, taking 50 people down the highways of America at 60, 70 miles an hour is a big responsibility, and I think he was an amazing man to do it. That's all I heard the gentleman
talking. Well said.
Yeah.
Well said, and I heard Nathan and some of the boys on this morning, Mike and Lisa,
yeah.
Lisa McHugh, great Lisa McHugh, on going on about the difficulties for country music at the minute, who were so dependent and so brilliant at live performances. Anyway, Robert, I wish you well. Are you back on the road yet? No?
I'm in the same position as Mike Denver and all these guys. I've been trying to lobby the government, because what I want, Joe, what I want more than anything else in the world right now, is I don't want the government to throw money at us. I want them to throw our jobs back at us, in the sense that I've had an idea to set up 20 or 25 drive-in theaters around the country. Get the Kaylee singers, get the Kaylee musicians, the rock and roll musicians, all the country musicians. Put them out there. Put them to work. We don't want to get money to sit at home looking out the window. That's not the kind of people we are.
Okay, you're saying let's be imaginative about how we can...
Joe, can I say something there?
Yes,
to,
well, do you think I'd be able to stop you, Jerry?
I spoke with Robert last October. He was down in that hotel in Mayo, the Westport Woods Hotel.
Okay.
And I was talking to him about his tour to Nashville, of which I wanted to go.
Okay.
But unfortunately, everything was knocked in the head this year.
Don't you worry.
Yeah, well, I might even give that driver that you have, I might give him a break and I'll drive the bus.
No problem. Well, sure, look, if we can give an Irishman a job, we'd be delighted to do that.
Okay. Robert Mazzell, stay safe. Jerry Martin, look after yourself. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, thanks for co-presenting the programme, Jerry.
You can... Lovely, thank you.
Okay, well done.
Don't forget, if you see me with me fire engine, Joe, come over and say hello.
What make is it again?
It's an 1124 Mercedes. Very appropriate number on it as well.
997LH999. And where was it on the run?
In Drogheda.
A Mercedes, yes. Is that an Atego?
Great thanks to the assistant chief up there, Joe Lumsden. He got it for me, and I'm absolutely delighted with it. I was out yesterday for a spin in it, me and my dog, Ruby.
Great.
Ruby sits in the officer's seat.
Okay, do you recognise this song? Continue the quiz.
Convoy. C.W. McCall.
You got a copy on...
And what was your call sign?
I never had one. I never had a CB, Joe.
Did you not know? Do people still have them?
Oh yeah, there's quite a few lads still have them. Yeah.
Oh, they're great. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, off you.
From the film Convoy.
Yeah. Off you go, Jerry. Safe travelling.
God bless you, Joe. Thank you. Bye.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Let's talk about the short story competition. There's a magnificent new compilation of Irish short stories compiled by our own Sinead Gleeson. It's 100 short stories beautifully presented in a hardback book with beautiful imprints and really well presented. It's a massive tome. Frank O'Connor, of course, is in there, and Patrick Frayne, who has a great new book out, by the way, and Sean O'Faylon, and Donald Ryan, and Colin Barrett, and Claire Keegan, and loads of great writers. But I was reading Claire Keegan's story. I was telling the lads upstairs in the office, I was reading Claire Keegan's story last night, Antarctica. And if anyone can tell me what happened next, I would love it, because it kept me awake all night, the poor woman. What happened next in Claire Keegan's Antarctica? But I cannot recommend that compilation highly enough. It'd be a beautiful Christmas gift for people. Joanna, good afternoon. Or is it Johanna? How do I pronounce it?
Johanna.
Johanna, thank you.
Yes.
And you say, what are you doing now? You come in support of the over 70s.
Oh, absolutely. I want the words over 70 obliterated from the language. I want it obliterated if it's in a dictionary. It's got to be stopped, because we still, I'm over 70 obviously, and we still have so much to offer the world. I have been nursing 54 years.
Wow.
And on the 17th of March this year was my last day at work. And it was only because of COVID. Not because I'm not able to continue nursing,
yes,
but because of COVID. And I am so sick to death of over 70. During lockdown, I walk 5 to 7 kilometres a day. I have been to Curves this morning. I have hoovered my house. I miss my nursing, you know, so much.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the very lucky ones. I nursed around the world. I came back to Galway in Ireland 30 years ago, where I was very lucky to get a job as a ward sister in University College Hospital Galway. Mm-hmm. And then I retired 7 years ago. But I didn't want to stop nursing because I just loved giving. And I went to work in Mystical Rose Nursing Home in Clare Galway, which I adored. You know, amazing place.
And why did you have to finish on the 70th? I know because of COVID, but why? COVID. Was it because of your age?
Yes, because I'm over 70.
Ah.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not fair. I've had the staff in Mystical Rose contacting me so that some of the residents could talk to me. And
they miss you. They miss you.
And I'm missing them terribly. Like some of the young care assistants just say, Joanna, where do you get your energy? But it's because it's the love of the job I was doing. I think if you love, as I read someplace the other day that, you're not working if you love your work, it's not going to work.
And yes, true, yeah.
You know, and I was very lucky and I had such a mixed career in my life, you know. I was involved in opening a hospital in Baghdad, involved in opening a hospital in Sharjah, then went to Brussels for 2.5 years, did nursing through the medium of French. So my career... Wow. Meant so much to me, and now I cannot go back nursing. You know, I'm here for my neighbours, and I help my neighbours in every way I can, but it's breaking my heart that I cannot ever again, unless they find a vaccine, maybe then I will. And I have another colleague, May, who had to retire as well, because she's not quite 70, I think she's 70 this year. But, you know, I miss it. But it, I suppose really why I'm ringing is, will you please, can somebody stop using over 70s?
Yeah, well, you see, it's not... Jerry's original call is, he would agree with you totally, but he's saying, well, how come I'm being banned for things once I hit 70?
Yeah.
I'm being banned from hiring a hoist. People have been banned from driving. Don has been banned from skiing in terms of he can't get insured, and, though he's still skiing. He's on a slippery slope, but he's still skiing and doing it well. That's where it's coming from. There seems 70 is the new cutoff point for everything.
For life. And really, it is not nowadays. You know, 70, there are people who are in their 40s and 50s who would not be able to do the work himself and myself would be able to do because, unfortunately, for various different reasons. But thank God, we have got the health, we have the brain, we have, you know, the energy to still be there. And I really don't understand why it has to be a cut-off, you know? Because to me, 70 is the new 50. And genuinely, that's what I feel. I feel as though I'm in my 50s, and in fact, I'm very lucky in my friends, my girlfriends, range from the age of 38 to 72 myself, and they go 40 something, 50 something, 60, and it's wonderful. I have such an amazing array of, you know, young friends.
And Johanna, every over 70 we've had on so far have been up a ladder. I hope you haven't.
I've just come down from the step ladder.
And are you in the house on your own?
Of course.
But for anyone, regardless of age, they say if you are going to climb a ladder, make sure you have your mobile phone with you or whatever.
Oh, I heard the show. That's how I heard the show.
Well,
because I had the mobile with me. No, I was just removing stuff from a lower shelf to a top shelf. I'm doing a spring clean, you know, in September because it's such a gorgeous day.
You're way ahead of yourself there. Johanna, stay safe, but I take your point. Where's Liz and Johanna? Johanna, you're in Clare, Galway. That means you're near Ronan Glynn's hometown.
Oh, no, I know. I know Ronan's parents extremely well. And Ronan's parents, he's doing a great job.
I see him. He's doing an incredible job.
He is doing it. And do you know what? Just while I am on with you, you know, the government are making decisions and they're doing their best. Mm. And I'm not pro either government. I used to be before, but now I'm not. But Rosine Shortall yesterday, I almost did ring into the paper, you know, why these people in opposition are saying, I don't agree. It's not that they're not even agreeing. They're critical. There's nothing, what's the word, that we're understanding. What is it about the bloody instructions she didn't understand? irritated me yesterday.
I wasn't following that debate, but I know Roisin did great work over the weekend about the situation in Beaumont. But anyway, I didn't see that bit. I don't want to be. Yeah, okay.
I'm picking on her because her name sticks out to me.
Okay, this is well known.
The others were saying the same, you know. And what is it? We can all read. We're lucky in that we have internet, we can Google things, you know, whatever. So please, somebody stop using the words over 70. That's all I'm asking.
Well done. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Johanna. I tell you, the over 70s are up to 90 today. Liz, good afternoon.
I'm up to 90, Joe, listening to it. I'm just over 70, and I was listening to that lady, and I agree with everything she says. I mean, it's sick. We have done everything. We have done everything that the government have asked us. We have cocooned. We've stayed in. We didn't have house parties. We weren't out celebrating. And now we're being told we can only have six people from one household, and we can't have a friend over to the house. I mean, I'm not inviting friends over to have a rave. I'm inviting friends over to meet somebody, to socialise. Our mental health is at stake here too. And I don't think anybody is taking us into consideration. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin are standing up there saying, oh, the over 70s are great. What are they giving? We want something back. I want to be able to invite people to my house and be sensible and reasonable. I mean, I had people over two at a time. We sit at, they sit at one end of the table. We sit at the other end of the table. We're not having, you know, raves. We're not having house parties. We're just trying to be normal. And we're not being allowed to be normal.
And are you based in Dublin, Liz?
I'm based in Dublin, yes I am. And Joe, I was in Cavantilly this morning waiting to pick up somebody. I was sitting in my car, 10 o'clock in the morning, reading the paper. And there's a firm there. I don't know what it's called, so I'm not putting names on anything. But they obviously go for a coffee break at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they start to come out in twos. Now, the footpath is very narrow. And they walked together. They had their masks in their hands. They were obviously going down to a coffee shop. There was no social distancing. Then six of them came. Two, four, six. There weren't 6 meters. There wasn't 1 meter between the six of them. And they're walking down the street. And we, over 70s, are being told, oh, you have to stay in. You can't go out. The furthest up in, it's a supermarket and back. I mean, I go for walks and I'm on the footpath and people are saying, jogger coming, please move. Cyclist coming, please move. And I end up out in the middle of the road. I mean, it's got to the ridiculous stage now. I mean, over 70 minutes now.
And if we're told, well, all the papers and media are warning us that come Friday after the NPHET meeting tomorrow, that there's going to be further restrictions in Dublin. There's going to be a lockdown in Dublin.
Lockdown.
You won't be able to leave the county. And there might be more restrictions than over 70s. How would you react to that, Liz?
I am furious. I want Micheál Martin to give me something. I want Micheál Martin to come out and say, OK, over 70s, you've done your job. You've worked really hard. You can have two or four people in your house.
Yeah, but the problem, Liz, is it's not Micheál Martin and it's not Leo Varadkar or Eamon Ryan. It's now down to the virus. It's the virus, this pandemic, this enemy.
Joe, I haven't been outside the door. I don't have it. I can't get it if I don't go out. I mean, But all our friends of my age group, Joe, are not going out. I'm not going into a pub in town. A friend of my son's was talking to me the other day and he told me he was out playing whatever, rugby or something. Mm. And he decided he wanted a pint. And he went into a pub and he bought a slice of cake to have his pint. Mm. Now, it's supposed to be a meal. I haven't been in a pub. I haven't been in a restaurant. I haven't had a staycation. I'm doing everything that I can to stay safe. And I can't have anybody. And all my friends are doing exactly the same. We're not going out. We're not having raves. We're not having parties. We're not going to pubs. I want to have somebody in my garden, in my back garden. Four people in my back garden. Social distancing and have a drink and a conversation. And probably from Friday, we won't be allowed to have anybody.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Well, the numbers in Dublin last night are frightening, comparatively to previous numbers. What, up over 300?
What is happening is people are inviting people into their houses. These are having house parties, and it's families, whatever they call. It's all these people who are having people in their houses, and they're all into, and they're not wearing face masks.
Okay, so it's visitors' private home or gardens. But I take your point. Try and even put up a makeshift bit of tarp or whatever in your garden so people can sit out in the garden or a gazebo. Visitors from one other household only are up to six visitors from two other households or three other households. But the level that Dublin is at, which is you, is visitors from one other household only.
I don't have any. I have a daughter living in Paris, so I don't have any other household. So who can I invite into my house? Nobody?
Well, you can invite one friend.
Oh, great.
Or two friends. Two friends. Have you married a couple as a friend?
Yes, friends. But I mean, one couple. I mean, you know yourself, Joe, I'm not asking for 16 people or 18 people. I wouldn't be able to fit them in the house anyway. But I mean, to have six people in the house, you know, what's wrong with that? And I'm not even in the house. I'm quite happy to sit in the garden. I have a heater. I'll sit in the garden. I don't mind. Okay. I've put on a coat. It's just we need to be able to socialise in our way, the way we do it, not the way we're told to do it. We've been told we can't do this and we can't do that and we can't do this and we can't. And as I said to you, Joe, we are the ones that have been so good at doing everything we've been asked of. I could open a mask shop, I've so many masks. I could open a visor shop, I've bought so many visors. I swear to God, I have hand sanitizers, I've no skin on my hands. I've hand sanitizers short of putting them in the porch. I mean, I've done everything I've been asked of. And I've got nothing back. I've got nothing back from anybody.
Well, you see, this sounds really glib, Liz, and bear with me. What the experts would say is what you've got back is your health, your life.
But that's up to me. That's me. That's not the government or anybody else. Okay. I'm looking after myself.
Well, it's government's advice and regulation.
Nobody's looking after me. And the other thing I want to say about that man who, with the over 70, that's the kind of promise
Jerry,
to bring you. Jerry. I mean, do you, when you go now to rent something from a shop, do you have to bring ID? Do they ask you, are you over 70?
Yes, they do.
Do they actually ask you? They do?
Yes, apparently in car hire, insurance for skiing, various DIY places. If you're over 70, you're gone. You're written off.
Oh, geez, well, I just dig a hole in the back garden and get into it now rather than wait for, you know, for me to die. I mean, they're putting us down in every,
Stop.
You know.
Stop.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. We have a life. I worked all my life. I mean, and I have a life and I enjoy my life. But I mean, for the last 6-7 months, I'm sick of banana bread. I painted. I did baking. I painted. I cleaned. I did everything, gardening, everything. It's all done and dusted now. I'm sick of all that. And we're coming into winter. And I mean, our mental health is going to be affected.
Yeah, okay.
We're coming into a winter that we're not going to be able to go outside the door.
And the other thing is you have to keep the door open because you have to keep the house cold.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, Joe, the summer was great. We had a garden. Thanks be to God, we're very lucky we have a garden.
Yeah, true.
And
we
could go out and we could dig and we could plant and we could plant flowers and everything else. But I have a daughter living in Paris. Is living on the fifth floor or sixth floor of an apartment block and has nothing. And she has a baby that was born 14 weeks premature. And she is confined for the last 6 months into an apartment.
And have you been talking to her, Liz?
Yes.
How is she coping?
Not great, to be quite honest. The baby has never been held by anybody, him and her. They actually came home now, to be fair. She was born in November, 14 weeks premature, 1.5 pounds.
Oh.
She fit in the palm of your hand.
A bag of sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. And she had heart problems and she'd eye surgery, she's heart surgery, she'd surgery in her groin, she had gobbler. She is the most beautiful baby now.
Congratulations.
She would light up Blackpool with a smile. I mean, she's just
fantastic.
Gorgeous. But she couldn't get, she had to get a note, Joe, to go to the hospital, which every appointment she had in Paris was kept. Every single appointment.
Well, was it okay?
Nothing was cancelled, but she had to get a note from the government to say she had permission to walk to the hospital.
That's how strict it was. And how long was the baby's first name?
First name, Sadie.
Sadie. Oh, what a gorgeous name. Well, how long was Sadie in hospital before she was allowed home?
Sadie, 4 months.
Wow.
4 months. She got out just as COVID struck in March.
And
my daughter was confined to the hospital for 4 weeks. She had to go to the... She had to go every single day, 9 o'clock in the morning. And
what a woman.
Home.
What
no,
a
I know.
Woman,
I mean,
is. What
I'll,
a woman.
Do you know something? How she hasn't got post-stress, whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, she went to the hospital every day. She expressed the milk, so that they could put the milk on the baby's lips, blah, 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 blah. Then she was moved from there. Then they discovered, which was fantastic, they would give her a test every month for her eyes, and they discovered when she was 2 months old that there was a cloud coming over her eyes, so she had to have eye surgery. She had heart surgery because her valve hadn't closed. I mean,
we couldn't go from
the last time we saw her was in January, and we couldn't hold her because she was tubes coming out of her everywhere. And, you know, then COVID came.
I hope you've seen Sadie on FaceTime or...
Oh, yeah. And now she's trying to get into the phone.
Has Sadie been to her granny's hometown?
She came up. My daughter in July said, "Mom, I can't take much more of this. Yeah, I have to get out." The baby had never been held by anybody, only the two, herself and her husband, nobody else, and never seen us except on FaceTime, but I mean, meant nothing to her. And they arrived in Dublin Airport, and we drove two cars out to the airport.
Great.
Herself and her husband drove back to our house.
In the one car,
with the baby. And we came in our car. No kisses, no huddles, just handed the keys to the car and told her all the sanitizers were in the car, the wipes and everything.
Brilliant.
They came here, straight up to the shower. They got into the shower, had their showers, put all the clothes in the basket straight into the washing machine. And my son-in-law came down and he said, "Liz, can we have a little bit of normality? We just want normality. Can we?"
But they were able to sit out in the garden and.
Yeah, we're able to sit. My son came back to live with us, Joe, because he's saving to buy a house, and then he got stuck in the first.
Well done. Is Sadie your first grandchild?
First grandchild.
Congratulations! What a magnificent woman.
And we had her in the garden, so she cocooned for 2 weeks. They stayed put for 2 weeks, never moved, and then she said, "Mom," because they'd only booked to come for 2 weeks. She said, "Mom, would you mind if I stayed on for another week?" I said, "God, I'd be thrilled," because she wanted to see her friends. So she went to Marley Park and met her friends in Marley Park.
Two weeks were up.
She'd cocooned for two weeks.
Oh, brilliant. Will you say hello to her? I hope you'll be talking to her today, I know. Say hello, and that story has given the nation a lift, Liz. Sadie has given the nation a lift. Well done.
She would light up Blackpool and smile. She smiles all the time. She's a beautiful baby. God bless her.
Just like her granny and her mother. Just like the men in her life as well. Liz, mind yourself. You're a tonic.
Thanks, mind yourself. Nice talking to you, Joe. But I just say, give the over 70s a break. Everybody, give us a break.
Well, here's the break. Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Kieran Dunn on sound, broadcast coordinator was Doc Martin. Produced today by the series producer, Rebecca Meehan. Richard Burns, the researcher. Ray Darcy's next.